a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? This is End Time Headlines, and it is Friday, the 1st of July, and we welcome you to the broadcast today. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And I am your host, the founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero. And today, as you can see the title of this, there is a earthquake swarm in South Carolina that has some residents on edge. We're going to talk about a huge comet that just has entered our solar system and Christians helping to establish a third temple. These are just a few of some of the stories that we're going to talk about today. So again, if you're new to the broadcast, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. As always, we would love to hear from you and where you guys are joining in from, and let us know that you are new to the broadcast. So before we get started on this thing, if you've not downloaded our free app, we want to encourage you to do that. If you're watching live at the end of this broadcast, in the description of this video, there is a link where it says download our free app. Just click on that link. It's going to take you to a page where you're going to see an Apple logo or the Android logo, depending on what device you have. Just simply click on that logo and get our free app. You're going to get every notification of every headline that we post and our podcast when they're available. Again, it's free and it's available on Apple and Android. If you're listening by podcast today, just type in End Time Headlines and get your free app today. So let's get started after this thing. If you live in South Carolina, you're very aware of a earthquake swarm that has been going on since December 21st of 2021. The U.S. Geological Survey recorded nearly 40 earthquakes in central South Carolina, ranging in magnitude from 1.3 to 3.6, whereas five of these earthquakes ranged a magnitude 3.0 or higher. The strongest earthquake of these 40 earthquakes since December 21st just took place this past Wednesday.
3.4 on Sunday, a 3.5 this afternoon, a 3.6 this evening, all just northeast of Columbia, South Carolina. That's about 175 miles from Raleigh, felt as far away as Charlotte. And the one on Sunday, a few people down in Moore County felt that one. But the one tonight, the most recent one, a 3.6, 2 miles deep, right there around Elgin, South Carolina. It happened just after 7 o'clock, so check in with your friends and family down there. Earthquakes in South Carolina are not uncommon. There's a lot of fault lines down there. In fact, the largest earthquake ever on the East Coast happened just outside of Charleston. It was a 7.0 back in 1886. We occasionally get some small ones up here in North Carolina, but it's been a while since we have felt one.
According to earthquake geologist Wendy Bowen, who works for the Incorporated Research Institutions for Seismology in Washington, D.C., she wants to assure everyone that, quote, there's no reason to worry in particular. She went on to say that, quote, it's just a little earthquake swarm that's happening, although the Weather Channel even deemed this as a, quote, unusual event. Now, an earthquake swarm is a group of earthquakes, typically small in magnitude, with no identifiable main quake associated with them. But I want to say something real quick and say that It could be. I'm not saying it is, but it could be a precursor to something or a larger event. In fact, if you do a little bit of historical research on this area, a 4.8 magnitude took place in the same region that's happening right now in 1913. However, some of y'all may not even know this, a much larger earthquake that was estimated to be nearly 7.1. Yes, that is correct. A 7.1 earthquake in South Carolina. In fact, it happened in 1886 in Charleston. And the result of it was the death of 60 individuals. Now, that was in 1886. If an earthquake happened of that magnitude today, and the population of what is there now and the growth, I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that the fatality count and injury count would be on a higher, much higher scale. This is what they've been warning about the New Madrid fault. That's the one that's right there in the Midwest. They're saying it's not a matter of if, but when it blows. And that's the one that resulted in large magnitude earthquakes that struck in 1918. And it, I'm sorry, 1811, excuse me. I knew I was wrong when I said that. Let me correct that. 1811, 1812 was the New Madrid earthquakes that resulted in geographical changes to all the way from Mississippi, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, Arkansas. In fact, one of the first quakes from that happened in Arkansas. In the U.S., larger earthquakes are more often associated with the West Coast than they are the East Coast. Thus, this is why they're calling this event unusual. Quote, most earthquakes occur where the Earth's plates come together, and they're the result of the tension and the stress that builds up as those plates are grinding and moving, slamming into each other. That's not happening to us here on the East Coast. But, quote, there are ancient fault lines here from in the past when continents have slammed together, and they are still building up stress and strain, but on a much, much slower time scale. Quote, one thing that does happen on a larger scale in the East is the area over which earthquakes are felt, even minor ones. The rocks on the East Coast transmit seismic shaking very well because they're cold and dense. Now, a couple things here. One is, I find it interesting that I remember now for a couple years, and you may not follow him or you may follow him, whatever the case, you know, whatever. But Perry Stone, a known evangelist, minister of the gospel that's been doing this for, what, over 40-something years, on his personal Facebook page, for years now, he's been getting reoccurring dreams about a tsunami on a coastline.
For those of you that have our book called The Visions, you will know that there's a chapter in there that I deal with the visions and dreams over the past several years that I have seen of very, very powerful tsunamis that strike coastal areas. I don't just throw that information out as a point of interest because I really try to determine and detect in my own spirit that this is just not some series of dreams that I'm having, or try to detect and discern somehow in my own spirit as to the timing or what I should share. It has been many months since I had a very vivid experience, but I want to share a recent, it was a dream, but it was so full color, three-dimensional, the sounds and the voices and the people that were there. It was very, very specific, or it was very, very clear. And then I'm going to give you something that I feel like I should share with you very briefly. In this particular dream, which recently happened, and again, I'm going to call it a dream slash vision because of it being very realistic. We were with a family that we've actually been on vacation with before. It's a very large family of people that I have known when Pam and I were married. In fact, the man who is a retired minister actually performed the ceremony, the wedding ceremony for my wife, Pam and I in North Pearl, Alabama on April the 2nd in 1982. So we're very close to this family. And as I said, we've actually been on vacation once with them. In this particular experience, we were on vacation with this family again, and we were staying in a coastal area right off the ocean, which is where we had previously stayed several years back on a vacation with our families together. I was remember seeing some of the young people. Some of them are now married, because when they rent a there are so many kids and grandkids that you have to rent like a three-story house to accommodate everybody, a big condominium. And we were there again in a location, I do not know where it was. It would have been more than likely the East Coast of the United States, because we would not all take a trip to the West Coast. It would have been the East Coast. But what happened was very, very clear. I can still see it right now. I had actually gone to the kitchen and was preparing to put some dishes after we'd eaten a meal in a dishwasher. Pastor, who is an older retired man, had been walking on the beach, and he came in, and he was moving a little bit slow, but he'd come in and we were talking a little bit. And some of the kids were there. And so all of a sudden I looked out the window, and there in the distance I saw this massive wave coming, and it was large. I can't estimate how tall it was. And I screamed, "Guys, it's a tsunami. Get upstairs, get to the third floor as fast as you can, run, run." And I remember that there was not a lot of people at the beach. It was kind of a private area, but the people there were running toward the condominiums that were on the beach. Apparently they were staying there as well. And I knew that unless some of them really ran fast, they would not make it. And I was very concerned about that. Well, immediately the younger people in the family began to run. I said, "You got to run." My first thought in the dream, in every tsunami dream I've ever had, I think about this. First of all, there's going to be a water supply problem because of the pipes, of the dirt that's going to be in the water. So in my dreams, I would always go to an upstairs area and start filling up a tub with the water that was presently in the pipeline. The sinks were filled up, the tubs. And in this case, I'm thinking, we've got to get upstairs and start filling up the tubs in case we need drinking water. But by the time I got around to the front door, I was helping the pastor up the steps. And I mean, the kids were running, and not just children, but these adult kids in their 20s and 30s. And I remember looking back, and water had already crashed into the area and out the front door and the front door windows. I could see it looked like a river was forming, and it was just waves toppling and things. Cars had been picked up already. And I'm thinking, "Oh my, this is serious." And we started heading upstairs, and my two thoughts were to put water in the tubs, plug up the tubs and the sinks with water as fast as you can for any kind of drinking water necessary. And number two was, "Oh my goodness, we should have grabbed some snacks," because this family, and when we all get together in the past, you know, everybody always purchases chips and snacks and all kinds of things like that. And I was thinking, but by the time that we got to the middle of the first set of steps, it was too late to go back into the kitchen area to try to find something. And I remember thinking in this experience, "Oh my, here again is what I saw about a tsunami coming." I do believe what I'm about to tell you. Now, first of all, that many times when, and I'm going to teach you something about dreaming or visions here, that many times when you have a dream or an experience, it doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately, but many times it's a warning in advance to be in prayer and to keep your spirit sensitive toward the situations that you're dreaming about.
So that's one thing I thought of when I heard this. And number two is, these are, quote, ancient fault lines. And we know that these fault lines all run together. It's like a vein system in the earth. So could, I'm not saying it is, but could, if this thing keeps building up momentum and getting stronger and stronger, guys, it is not inconceivable to believe that we could see something like what occurred in 1913 or 1886. So this is why many of the residents in this area are kind of on edge, because again, there is a point of reference for a large scale event. All right. Now, could this possibly, if this continues building up momentum, could it trigger the New Madrid fault line? I don't know. I'm not a seismologist. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a geologist. So I don't have all the answers to this. What I'm saying is, I'm just saying from an average guy that does Bible prophecy looking in, I think this is intriguing. I think it's an interesting point of view. Now, biblically speaking, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said there would be earthquakes, plural tense, in diverse, now that's a King James term, but in modern English, it would be, there would be earthquakes in different places or locations. So they would be, one translation and one commentary broke it down and said that these, that look for earthquakes that would transpire in places that they don't, that they do not typically happen or take place. So that this would fit the bill. Again, I'm quoting to you from the Weather Channel that this is a earthquake swarm that is producing a, quote, unusual number of earthquakes. And again, this has been going on since December 21st of last year. So this is something we need to keep an eye on. You guys on the East Coast, I'd be paying attention to this too. You guys in South Carolina, you need to pay attention to this. And just look, you say, well, how do we prepare for this? Well, go ask some of your West Coast friends here on Facebook Live or in forums. How do they prepare for earthquakes? Prepare for this stuff. Have a plan. Have a backup plan. Have an emergency routes and have some extra water on storage and have some of these things. We call it bug out kits. Why? Because if electricity gets knocked out, I mean, just think if we had another event like they had, excuse me, back in the 1800s. In 1886, where a 7.1 happened. Again, if that was to happen today, it would be a whole lot greater damage and destruction. So we need to be prepared for that. When I lived in Indiana, we were actively prepared for, in the event that the New Madrid was to blow, we had a plan. You guys, you live in a tornado area, you make plans. You live in a flood zone area, you make plans. You live a place where where there's wildfires, you make plans. You plan accordingly. The prudent man prepares himself, right? So now let's move on. We got other stories that we want to cover today. This was an interesting article that came out. This was from Israel365news.com. Christians are now helping Jews search for the red heifer to reinstate a future temple service. This is talking about this coming third temple. Again, this is highlighted in your Bible in Revelation chapter 11. It talks about this. John the Revelator saw this temple. He talked about the dimensions. He talked about it was laid out. He talked about that it'd be trampled on by Gentiles. This is not a matter of if, but when this temple is constructed. Well, according to the report, the Temple Institute has been working to reinstate the red heifer ceremony since 2015. And recently, a pro-Israel Christian organization has now stepped up to decided to help out. According to the report, the Temple Institute launched its Red Heifer program nearly a decade ago. But even in the Temple times, an animal that fulfilled the biblical requirements was exceedingly rare. Failing to produce a suitable candidate from ranchers in Israel, the Temple Institute began investigating alternative sources for a red heifer. Thus, here comes the help from the Christian institution. Last year, the Temple Institute was contacted by a cattle farmer in Texas, of all places, who informed them that five red calves had been born on his ranch about 2.5 hours travel from Dallas. Normally, calves are ear tagged when just a few days of age. By a remarkable coincidence, these five calves were never tagged, and also coincidentally, they were all female. Any blemish disqualifies the calf, and a hole in the ear would be such a blemish. Now, of course, that goes all the way back to the book of Leviticus and the ceremonies and the rituals in which they instituted these things. The farmer explained that because of COVID, the employee who normally places these tags did not come to the farm when these five calves were born. The report goes on to say that a team of rabbis from the Temple Institute flew out to Texas to inspect these calves. The requirements are incredibly demanding, requiring there be no more than 2 non-red hairs on the entire calf. It must also never have been used for any labor or have been impregnated. The heifer must be 2 years of age and 1 day old to be suitable for the ceremony. Sometimes a calf that is perfectly red when it's young develops black or white hairs as it grows older or develop a blemish. Sometimes the colored hairs fall out or they disappear. The Temple Institute decided to reinspect the calf at a later date. 2 of the 5 untagged heifers were extremely close to passing. One heifer had a very small white spot. Otherwise, it was perfect. The other had some hairs that could be red or black. So the search continued. But Bonne Israel, an organization that connects Christian lovers of Israel to the Holy Land, stepped in based in Texas. Israel understood ranchers. They took out full-page ads in ranching magazines and explaining the situation to ranchers. They requested that any red calves be set apart or set aside. A team leader in America for Israel stated this, quote, I didn't set out to do this, but right now I am probably the best red heifer hunter in Texas. He went on to say, the Bible says to bring a red cow to purify Israel, and I may not understand it, but I am just doing what the Bible said. Quote, the prophecies came true and the Jews are back in Israel. Byron went on to say that now they need to build a temple. Do you hear that? So this man reads the Bible and he gets to Revelation 11 and he reads it and he understands that there has to be a future temple instituted in order to again usher in the fulfillment of end time events. So let me read this. He goes on to say, but it's like buying a really nice car. If you don't have the key, you're not going anywhere. Quote, the red heifer is the key to making the temple work like it's supposed to. Wow. Byron had a unique understanding of the red heifer ritual, which purifies Jews from proximity to the dead. Quote, we are all living under the shadow of death. He went on to say that we desperately need to be restored to life in today's world. The red heifer is just to purify the Jews for serving in the temple as a house of prayer for all nations, but we all need it. Now, so having said that, let me read this. There are 5 elements necessary to perform the, quote, ritual of the red heifer. We need the crimson wool, which the Temple Institute now knows how to make. We need the cedar, which we now obtain. We need the specific location on the Mount of Olives, which we can now obtain. And finally, we need the cow, and we are working on that. So again, you got to have, so if you got all the necessary steps, equipment, the pieces to the puzzle, then you've got everything that needs to be put in place in order to bring about the third temple or the final temple, Revelation 11. So what are we talking about here? This is exciting on many levels. Because one, it is, again, it's fulfilling Bible prophecy. Now, I believe, and I've said this for years, that because most Jews are not messianic, meaning they do not have a personal relationship or understanding or knowledge or revelation of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of Man. And having said that, most of these Jews are looking for a Messiah to fit the bill that I believe is going to be the Antichrist of the Bible. Because again, when you go to Revelation 13 and you go to Thessalonians, there has to be a temple in place in order for the son of perdition, who is the Antichrist, to take his seat in. So this is exciting news, guys, because if they get all the instruments and the rituals in place for the temple, it's safe to say they will begin construction of the temple. And if the construction of the temple is made, it will now be ready and it will be available for the man of sin or son of perdition or the Antichrist to take his seat of authority that the Bible says he will do so for a particular amount of space or time. And the Bible says he will declare himself as God. He will set up an image with the false prophet at the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. So somebody say, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. And then, now you want to talk about a bizarre story. Look at this. This was unbelievable. Some of y'all may not know this. Some of you will. Scientists are conducting an experiment attempting to tap into, quote, parallel universe. Very similar to the Stranger Things series, where they tapped into a parallel universe called the Upside Down. We would like to call that the underworld. Tapping into the underworld. There's a movie called The Mist. It's a Stephen King novel turned into a movie in which the U.S. military was conducting these experiments in which they were trying to tap into, quote, parallel universes, and they tapped into the underworld, and they opened a portal where all these demons and these creatures came out of hell and began to destroy the earth. Scientists at Oak Ridge National Labs are trying to discover parallel universes. What? Like our universe is not bizarre enough, as if we don't have enough trouble, as if we don't have enough problems, as if we don't have enough disasters and crazy people and lunatics. Who sits around and be like, hey guys, I got a great idea. Let's try to tap into an unseen world that we have no business getting involved in. Have you ever heard of CERN, C-E-R-N, in Switzerland? That's what they've been attempting to do. And there is some argument, and there is some experts that have come forward and said that they've already, in some essence, have tapped into the underworld. Because there's been strange and bizarre and weird things going on in CERN in Switzerland that is supernatural and I would say demonic, where they're seeing entities and they're seeing these ghost-like apparitions that are taking place around where they're conducting the CERN experiment, this Hadron Collider, where they're trying to reinvent the Big Bang theory. But nevertheless, scientists at Oak Ridge National Labs are trying to discover parallel universes. Now, after several years of searching, they have revealed what they have found so far. So they've been doing this under the radar. The team of physicists has been searching for evidence of a, quote, right-handed version of our left-handed universe. Specifically, scientists said they are looking for a, quote, mirror neutron by sending neutrons, one of the particles that make up atoms, into a tube with a blocked end and then seeing if any make it to the other side. The experiment has been compared to Stranger Things upside down. So the question, quote, let me give you the quotes, quote, so the question I get the most is, were we successful in opening the portal? These physicists, these scientists have been asked the question, did you open a portal? And unfortunately, no. Really? Thank God you didn't, dummy. Quote, we did not find any evidence of, quote, parallel universes or new interactions with the neutron and the dark sector. You should probably be thankful. And there's a good chance that God, sir, is not allowing you to do that. But you know what's strange? When you get into the book of Revelation and you read in the tribulation, it talks about there's a pit, the abyssos in Greek, the abyss. It opens. Y'all ever read this in the book of Revelation? It talks about this pit will open and these strange creatures come out. And they, John defines them, he illustrates them as locusts, but they're not normal locusts. They're a different type of locust. And I've always been intrigued by that. Then you go over and it says in the river Euphrates, there is four angels that have been bound in the Euphrates River. And when did they get there? How'd they get there? They were there. They've been bound there when they fell with Lucifer and his rebellion, and God cast them there and he bound them there. And Peter talks about the angels that held not their first estate, that are held in confinement in chains of darkness until the end. But listen, have you ever, I'm just throwing this out there. Who releases them? Is it God? Is it Satan? Or is it some quacks like this that are trying to tap into these parallel universes through CERN and through this and through other means? Could it be possible that we get into this, into the tribulation, and they open this stuff open? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out. I just think it's intriguing. I think it's a good talking point. I don't think it's something we should ignore. The scientists say that the search is not over. However, scientists said they have, quote, more sensitive experiments planned. Wow, isn't that wonderful? More sensitive experiments planned. I mean, as if trying to open a portal into another universe wasn't sensitive, we've got more sensitive things to do. Wow. I mean, that, sleep well tonight, friends. So so we may learn more in the years to come. The goal of the experiment was to see if we could see neutrons going through a wall that we knew should stop neutrons. The idea is that neutrons might be transforming into dark matter. Okay, question. What if they did? What does that mean? What's the next step, sir? You're going to start sending people into the parallel universe? I mean, are we going straight interstellar here? Dark matter does not seem to interact with our ordinary matter, so it would just pass through the wall, and then we could try to get the neutron to transform back. I think we see a signal or see evidence of a new particle. It doesn't mean that we found a new dimension or we found a new universe. It just means that we have a better understanding of the particles that are making up our universe. Here's an idea. Open a Bible, and you'll discover where it says, in the beginning, God created the universe. God created the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. God is the creator, not a big bang, not an explosion of stars, not all that, not slime and time. But again, they won't ever accept that theory. So we're going to move on. That I told you, we got headlines to cover today. Let me give you this one. Let's take you to something we've not talked about much, but all the while we're inundated with the Capitol 6 hearings, the abortion Supreme Court resolution, the gun control battle, and all the other stuff going on in the circus in Washington. Meanwhile, NATO is dramatically increasing their forces and putting them on, quote, high alert and upping their soldiers to from 40,000 to 300,000 amid new threats from Russia. According to the report, units deployed across 8 Eastern and Southeastern NATO countries to defeat Russia. Hostilities will rise in size from 1,000 strong battle groups to brigades, which can comprise around 3,000 to 5,000 troops with more war fighting equipment in Lithuania and Estonia, NATO, here's another article. NATO sends nuclear retaliation warning to Russia and China. So not only is NATO threatening Russia, but now they're threatening China. So this is all happening. What is this? The wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. This is what we're seeing, and it's all prophecy, guys. So we got that going on, and this thing is far from over. If you think it's over, it's not. Then we have, consequently, we talked about this, the day of the Supreme Court ruling where they reversed Roe v. Wade, there was something that took place in the heavens that I thought was fascinating, and there was 5 planets that made an alignment that was called, quote, a rare alignment that would not take place again until like 2040 or 2045 or somewhere around there. So that happened. Now, a report has came across saying that a huge comet has entered the final stages of a multi-million year journey towards the sun and has entered the inner part of our solar system and is due to make its closest pass to the Earth this month in July. According to Newsweek, scientists have known about this comet, C-2017K2, for several years. The Hubble telescope observed it back in 2017 when it was the farthest active inbound comet that had ever been seen. At the time, this comet was a huge 1.5 billion miles away from our star, even further away than Saturn. Even at that distance, the comet estimated to be roughly 12 miles across or less. Now, we've been talking about this. I believe we talked about this last year and even the year before that. It was heating up and had developed an 80,000-mile-wide cloud of dust and gas around it. Scientists think that this comet came from the Oort cloud, O-O-R-T, a colossal sphere of icy objects that orbit our sun far out past even the most distant planets in our solar system. The comet has traveled a vast distance passing the orbits of Neptune, Uranus, Saturn, and Jupiter before entering the asteroid belt that separates the inner solar system from the outer. Now it's in our neck of the woods, having entered the inner solar system, according to spaceweather.com. According to the report, it's due to make its closest pass to Earth on July 14, though the comet will still be further away from us than Mars. This is being called the an extraordinary event. So again, I consider this to be, again, signs in the sun, moon, and stars, great and fearful sights from heaven. Intriguing. So we're going to keep up with this and see what comes of this. Now we have one more story to cover today, and I saved the best for last because this one is probably going to ruffle some feathers from a lot of Christians and even some of you folks that will be watching or listening live and by the rebroadcast of this. Can I just say something here before we even get into this? Can we please stop idolizing Hollywood stars? As Christians, stop it. Stop idolizing them. Stop looking up to them. Listen, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So listen, I'm not looking to imitate Chris Pratt or any other Hollywood celebrity as my influence of Christianity. Can I just say that? Now, what am I talking about? Chris Pratt recently came out in an interview. And he said, quote, I'm not a religious person. I'm not a religious person. So we're going to talk about this today. According to Fox News, Chris Pratt is wanting to set the record straight. In an interview from now, before everybody gets all on the bandwagon and cheers him, yay, I agree with Chris Pratt, and I'm not a religious person either. Well, hold on for a second. Listen, I know everybody slams religion. But I'll remind you, James said that if you cannot bridle your tongue and you cannot discipline yourself and you're not feeding the orphans and the widows, he said your religion is in vain. He mentions the word religion. Now, I'm not talking about a pharisaical. I'm not talking about a pharisaical religion. But there is a true religion. James said that. He talks about that. In a recent interview for Men's Health back in July and August, 43-year-old Chris Pratt clarified that he's not a, quote, religious person and has never attended Hillsong Church. Apparently, there's a rumor escalating that he attended Hillsong Church. Over the years, the actor has faced criticism for being associated with, quote, religion. In 2019, the Guardians of the Galaxy star was tied to Hillsong Church, which has been accused of being anti-LGBTQ+. At the time of the allegations, he said, quote, nothing could be farther from the truth. He went on to say, quote, I never went to Hillsong. I've never actually been to Hillsong. I don't know anyone from that church. He went on to say that he shared with Men's Health, and he said he decided not to say that at that time because he didn't want to throw a church under the bus. Pratt went on and shared that he occasionally attends Zoe Church as well as a Catholic church his wife, Catherine Schwarzenegger, grew up attending. Now, if you was to listen to some of you folks on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Instagram, you idolize this guy as this super sold out, born again believer. But listen, quote, the Jurassic World Dominion actor shared that, quote, and I quote, really, I'm not a religious person, adding, and this is what he said, religion has been oppressive as explicit F word. Wow, that's just so, I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but I can read in the Gospels where the Apostle Paul, James, Barnabas, and John and Matthew and Luke, I mean, they were dropping F-bombs left and right. Oh, that's right. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good to the edifying of the believers." Listen, you can get mad at me all you want, but we're not talking about a guy who's stubbing his toe and saying an explicit word here. We're talking about a guy who's in a casual conversation throwing down F-bombs. Listen, I'm just going to set it straight on the record. I don't believe Spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christians should be talking like this. Could you imagine, here I am on a podcast as a believer, as a brother, as a Christian, as a pastor, as a leader, and could you imagine me sitting here preaching the gospel and just throwing out F-bombs? An MF-er here, an S word here, and calling someone a B word and this and that. Could you imagine the cringe that would be from that? My credibility would be gone. And you would say, "I knew he was a charlatan. I knew he was a hypocrite. I knew he was a wolf in sheep's clothing." But you'll turn right around and you will advocate and you will commend a guy like this who calls himself a quote unquote Christian, when now he's saying he's not religious and drops the F-bomb, but it's okay because he's in my favorite superhero movie. Now, brother, I loved him in Jurassic Park. So don't you get up in his business and talk about that. Listen, I understand. Listen, calm down. Don't get mad at Brother Ricky. Listen, if you're a babe in Christ, we'll let you slide. We understand there's a sanctification process. We understand not everybody's, I can hear it. Let him who's without sin cast the first stone. Listen, I'm not addressing baby Christians who are still on the milk. I'm addressing you folks that call yourself a Christian and you've been a quote unquote Christian and born again for 20 years and 30 years. And you are still, you just dropping F-bombs here and cussing people out at Walmart and flipping people the bird on the interstate. And you just living any life you want, but you're a Christian. Hallelujah. Oh, you thought you was going to get on and hear some information today, and you thought I was not going to get up in somebody's business today, but wrong again. Though he doesn't consider himself religious, Pratt shared that he does have faith. Well, I got news for you. Buddhists have faith. Muslims have faith. Are you listening to me? People in New Age have faith, but they have their faith in the wrong things. Quote, I didn't know that I would kind of become the face of religion when really I'm not a religious person. I think there's a distinction between being religious, adhering to the customs created by man, oftentimes appropriating the awe reserved for who I believe is a very real God. Well, who is that, Chris? Can you name him? And using it to control people, to take money from people, to abuse children, and to steal land to justify hatred. Whatever it is, the evil that's in the heart of every single man has gloomed onto the back of religion and come along for the ride. Quote, the outlet addressed Pratt's negative backlash he's received on social media. And he said, quote, "You don't ever want to get caught complaining or anything, because I have so many blessings. I consider everything a blessing truly in my life. But why are they coming after me?" In May, Pratt and his wife welcomed their second baby girl together. "We are so excited to announce the birth of our second daughter. The couple wrote on social media, "Mama and baby are doing well. We feel beyond blessed and grateful." The couple welcomed their first daughter back in 2020. Pratt shares his son, Jack, with his ex-wife, Anna Faris. In April, Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn defended Pratt after a fan called for the actor to be replaced in the Marvel Universe. Gunn responded to a fan on Twitter at this time, saying Pratt will never be replaced over utterly false beliefs. "For what? Because of your made up, utterly false beliefs about him?" Gunn began, quote, "For something that someone else told you about him that's not even true. Chris Pratt would never be replaced as Star-Lord, but if he ever was, we would all be going with him." The fan initially tweeted a picture of Pratt alongside Patrick Wilson, captioning the image, "Marvel, hear me out, just replace him." So again, I get tired of when these guys get put on the spot and they dance around it. They give these politically correct answers. When Carl Lentz of Hillsong was on The View and they straight up asked him, "What's your view of abortion?" He couldn't give a straight answer. Joel Osteen was confronted, couldn't give a straight answer. And these guys are quote unquote pastors. So we would expect at least them to give a straight answer. But these are actors, guys. These are not pastors. They're not bishops. They're not evangelists. They're not even ministers of the gospel. They're just plain actors. But guys, we've got to stop idolizing these people. Because we're calling people Christians that personally, I like the guy. I have nothing against Chris Pratt. I like his movies. Most of his movies I've never had a problem with. But again, if I don't want my kids idolizing someone that calls himself, Denzel Washington calls himself a Christian. Have you ever seen some of Denzel Washington's movies? I can't watch them in front of my kids. But watch this, guys. But their perception, if I tell them that they, "Oh, look, it's Denzel Washington, it's Chris Pratt, it's so-and-so," and they are professed Christians, but I can't even let my kids watch their movies because it's got so much filth, sexual content, language, all this other stuff. And then it portrays a false sense of Christianity. Y'all see what I'm saying here? Look, oh, listen, if I didn't make you mad there, let me make you mad here, and then we'll close the broadcast. So we lost a few on that segment. Let's lose the rest of you right here. Ready? This is why my wife and I have never participated with our kids, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, or Santa Claus. We've never practiced it, we've never entertained it, and we've never celebrated it. Why? You say, "Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it." Well, here's why we don't. Ready? Because later in life, believe it or not, your kids are going to grow up and they're going to realize and they're going to discover that the Tooth Fairy was an imaginary figure. That Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas, is an imaginary figure. The Easter Bunny is an imaginary figure. And they're going to be let down. And they're going to feel, listen, from their perspective, watch this. Why did my mother and father tell me that these imaginary figures were real? I mean, I'm putting a dollar under a pillow because I thought that this quote unquote tooth fairy was going to come and take, I was putting my tooth under the pillow so this quote unquote tooth fairy could come and take my tooth and give me a dollar. Why did I leave cookies and milk out for someone who didn't even exist? Why? Are you listening to me? Why did I partake of something that didn't exist with an Easter bunny? Now watch this. Then you start telling them about Jesus. They can't see Jesus. Jesus is not in their living room. Jesus is not showing up at their church in bodily form. They cannot see him. So watch this. Your kid will begin to say, "Well, hold on," in his mind, The Tooth Fairy was an imaginary figure. Santa Claus was an imaginary figure. And the Easter Bunny was an imaginary figure. So now all of a sudden, you want me to believe this Jesus whom I cannot see. Who's to say that he's not an imaginary figure? Now, here's what, why, listen, I'm not getting on you. I'm just telling you ours, our convictions. This is why my wife and I did not want this on our hands. We don't want their blood on our hands, knowing that we have sown the seeds of deception in their hearts from the time they were a kid to believe in something they could not see, only to be let down later to tell them it was an imaginary figures. And then we try to introduce Jesus into the mix, and your kids will be like, wait a minute, these, all three of these were imaginary, and you want me to believe this? You want me to believe in this Jesus that wants to bless me and heal me and prosper me and save me and give me eternal life? Well, yeah, that's what the Bible says. Really? I'm telling you, American Christianity, Western Christianity makes me want to vomit and puke. Because we have churches that incorporate all this garbage into the church services. Well, the world's doing it, brother, so we got to have it in. We got to have it in the sanctuary. We got to get the Easter Bunny into the sanctuary. We got to get, we don't want to call it trick or treat, so we'll call it trunk or treat. You know, because that doesn't sound as bad. And the kids can still dress up. And we don't want them dressing up as witches and warlocks, devils, because that would be too obvious that we're partaking of something that's not even in the Bible and something the early church never participated in. And it's called evil. When the Bible says abstain from the very appearance of evil, but it's okay because it's all about getting those people into the church. What about end time events? This is end times. The churches are being deceived, and they're partaking of things that were never instituted by God. We're still on end times. Well, I didn't come here to get preached at. Well, turn the channel. Leave. Bye. See ya. I'm going to keep going. You can come back. I'll come back later because I don't like this stuff because you're getting up in my business. Well, then listen, you probably won't like the next broadcast because we'll probably come knocking on your door on that one too. I'm telling you, listen, I want to preach to every pastor that's listening today. If you're a pastor, you're a leader, you're a bishop, you're an elder, whatever, at your church, stop preaching and teaching to me about revival. And telling me we got to have revival, but we want revival. Stop it. Stop telling me you want revival, but you're going to continue to compromise like this. You're going to continue to keep doing this stuff, and you wonder why we're not in revival. You got people in leadership that are living totally ungodly lives. They're living in fornication. They're living in homosexuality. They're drunkards. They're drug addicts. You got all this mess, and you got them on the platform. You got them in leadership. You're partaking of pagan holidays and mixing in the profane with the holy. But yet, bless God, we're believing for revival. Listen, you don't want revival because if real revival came in that church, it would flip you upside down and it would run people out that door. People would be screaming to get out of the four walls of that church because it would actually cause you to give up things. You say, well, my goodness, Brother Ricky, you seem like you're fired up today. I am. Because as a watchman, I'm sick of it, guys. Listen, we have beat this dead horse over and over, and you get on Christian broadcasting networks, and you get on these magazine publications, and you get on the websites, and you got all these people that want to blog about, I see this revival coming, and I see this coming. It's nonsense. They've been saying and perpetrating this for years and years and years. How's that working out for you, friend? Where's it at? I don't see it. All these things that you said was coming has never come to fruition. You got dreamers that are dreaming that are not even dreaming of God. You got people, you got false prophets prophesying peace when there is no peace. You got all kinds of nonsense. You got believers that have put politics on the throne and taken Jesus off the throne. Oh, I was going to come on today and just give you some headlines from a prophetic perspective, but I'm just telling you, this stuff has been burning in my heart for weeks now, and I just got to get it off my chest. So listen, if we lost a few of you, then it is what it is, because listen, I'm sorry, but if I wasn't going to lose you today, I'm going to lose you next week or 2 weeks from now or whatever the case would be. So listen, if you can handle the hard truth, if you can handle, it's like, listen, we had to take our 7-year-old to get a shot, and he whined and he cried and he pouted about it. And we told him, look, just go in there and just take a deep breath, and it's going to sting a little bit, but you'll get through it. And when you get through it, it'll be something in the past. I know it stings a little bit today. But just take a deep breath, calm down, let it marinate a little bit. And I promise you, listen, I love you. I do. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just mad at the system that we've created, calling it church and Christianity. That's all. That's what I'm saying today. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. Again, go there, download our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Get it to your hands. You're going to get all of our headlines. You're going to get our podcasts. And listen, if you got friends and family that has, if they're tough like nails, share this with them. Share our website. If they're jelly-backed, easily offended, and pharisaical, good grief, don't put them on our website, because they'll go on Facebook and they'll start griping and complaining, and we'll just have to let them go. So just please don't do that. So you know, if you got some soldiers out there that like to be encouraged, equipped, this is the place for you. Again, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it encourages you, equips you, informs you week after week after week, by all means, just, we ask that you pray about becoming a monthly partner or a one-time giver, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, whatever your relationship is with this ministry, you pray about that and let the Lord lead you to do that. And you can do it two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, go down to the bottom, hit donate and give there, or you can give by check or money order. And you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. And again, a little note to those who give by check or money order. If you give by check or money order, please, if you can, leave your email address in the envelope so that we can personally thank you. And we can email you back and personally thank you. And some of you guys have done that. And this week we're going to get back to, we're going to be emailing you out. So you're going to see some emails coming through. So as always, we love you guys. We really do. I know it sometimes it seems like you don't, we don't, but I really do love and appreciate you guys. Listen, I'm a watchman. This is what I see. I'm not mad at anybody. There's a righteous indignation. You can only deal and put up with so much. Do I have it all together? No, God deals with me. Listen, I always said this. He steps on my toes way before he steps on your toes. Are you hearing me? Everything he deals with, what I talk about, he deals with me all the time. There's things I can't watch and do and whatever that probably many of you can get away with, but I can't. And that's okay. I used to be like Jacob and try to wrestle with God all night. And I learned that it wasn't worth walking around with a limp afterwards, because I wasn't going to win that battle. So I stopped that. It's like, you know what, God? I just give it to you the best I can. I surrender to you. I want you to use me for your will and your purpose, whatever that looks like and whatever I have to surrender. So we're going to sign off for today, guys. We'll be back on, let's see. What is today? The 1st, 2nd, 3rd? We will take Monday off because it's the 4th of July. I know many of you guys are going to be with your family, so I want to take that in consideration. So let's come back on Tuesday. So we'll do Tuesday. We'll probably do Wednesday. We may do all 4 days. I know many of you guys have been asking how I'm feeling. I am feeling there's good days and bad days. I'll just be honest with you. It's God's good. We're getting through this. We're learning, you know, God, You know, what I can't do in the natural, I'm believing that God will do in the supernatural. But either way, listen, I'm going to keep fighting the good fight of faith, and we're going to keep doing what God has called us and entrusted us to do until the very end. So we love you guys. God bless you. Have a good weekend. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you in Jesus' name. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.